This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Feeling good about Matthew Boyd? I am.
You know, I liked his demeanor.
I'm feeling good.
I did like his demeanor, absolutely.
You got to get him to go four. Craig says, I don't see why Fry can't catch an inning or three if the pitcher doesn't allow base runners. He only has to throw the ball 60 feet back to the pitcher. He has played first base a few games since the arm issue. Somebody told me he can throw it sidearm. Like, he can't just come over the top with it. So if someone gets on base, you're going to be in a little bit of trouble. I don't think he can risk it. Tone? Tone's moving on. 216-474-0090. You don't even want to throw any opinions out there, do you? All right, here we go.
If it's game seven, not in on the ninth front, inning,
yeah,
maybe.
I got to get him to go four innings tonight. Whatever that takes, I got to get him to go four. And if it does come down to, I don't know why it would come down to it, but it's like, all right, if he has to, if Austin Hedges has to start, I don't know why it would have to come down to that, but if he were to have to start, then fine. I guess I'd be willing to do it. I'd rather pinch hit with Bo Naylor. I'd rather pinch hit with Naylor, to be honest with you. I'd rather have to have Bo Naylor come in later than have to have him come in later to hit, because at some point they're going to have to hit. We find ourselves in positions, but usually we're down and not over these first two games we've been down and not having to hold a lead. So him coming in, and hopefully if we get the play from ahead, it would make more sense because he would be a better defensive catcher, and then you would have Emmanuel Clase out there and you wouldn't have to give up any bing bongs or anything like that. Let me get to Dan in Mansfield. Dan, you're first up on the Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Ken and Lima, real quick, couple things. I haven't had much time to watch the Mets and Dodgers series, just work and stuff, but I was watching it last night, and it just was like, man, even with the Yankees, it's like these lineups are just stacked. It's like, honestly, we really, and that's the national narrative. We don't deserve. We just shouldn't stack up with these teams. And I think if we can get an early lead, that we will win. And I think that goes to why Hedges should start the game, because what does it matter if he's coming in the eighth, ninth to catch, calling a better game, if we're losing 3-0 or 2-1 or whatever? It just doesn't matter. And I think if he has to start, he has to call a good game. We have to get out to a lead, and then you can pinch hit Naylor, and they're both pretty much an automatic out anyways. But that's my opinion. I think you got to start with Hedges, then call a good game with Boyd, get an early lead, and I guarantee if we jump out to a lead, the Yankees, they're going to crumble. They are not that good, I don't think, and they will crumble. We will win. And, yep, on to game four, and hopefully we win that one and get it done.
Well, they have reason to, I mean, because they're up 2-0 in the series. So if you want it, and Dan, thank you for the call. Like, if you can get some sort of a lead, they may just go, okay, we're going to play for game four and five and so on and so forth. So they might do that. I'm looking for a way back in. I can let them figure out, they can worry about whatever they want to worry about. If they just want to get to game four, fine. I got to take advantage of what I can do, because I got to get one back at a time. I think if you go down 3-0, I'm just terrified about tomorrow. If you lose tonight, I'm just horrifically terrified about tomorrow.
This is all hands on deck tonight for us. For them, I don't know if it is.
Like, you guys are going to have to call me out for being a sissy tomorrow, because it would be bad for
like,
me.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Yankees are taking into consideration, you know, the games after tonight. You can't do that if you're the Guardians. I mean, you need to scratch and claw and do whatever it takes to figure out a win. And by the way, it's interesting to hear you talk when you're like, man, can Boyd just get... Did you say through the fourth or into the fourth?
Can I get through four innings? Can I get us into the fifth with somebody else as our reliever?
It's just amazing what a different brand of baseball this is. I know it was a really long time ago. I was just pulling up during the break, the 95 World Series, and every pitcher for both teams, with the exception of the final game, the game six that we ended up losing in a very close 1-0 game, every pitcher went at least six innings. And half the time it was seven or eight.
Because you had a healthier...
so different.
First off, it's indicative of what the game is now, because more and more guys are getting hurt. We talked about that earlier in the summer. But especially with this rotation, I mean, there were plenty of people who were more than willing to tell me earlier this summer that, well, you know why they're not going to make the postseason, Ken. Well, why? Because of rotation. They don't have a rotation. Shane Bieber's hurt. They don't have a rotation. Like that was offered up by callers, by people. Like, hey, don't get your hopes up too much. The rotation is so. Now we are dealing with this in the postseason, where it's like, hey, man, I can't sit there and make excuses about the rotation. The first couple of games of this series, like it should in a lot of ways be a 1-1 series right now, and that would put a different thing. It would put a different spin on what the Yankees are doing. Would put a different spin on everything. It should be a 1-1 series. Like my frustration is that, even with the changes that they've had to make with pitching, you've played so tight over New York. I really think the Guardians have beaten the Guardians. I do not think the Yankees have beaten you. Their mystique has beaten you, or the lights being too bright or whatever. Your own mistakes have beaten you.
Oh, I know.
Your own problems have gotten in the way. That's what's frustrating.
I've heard people in New York, they've said, Yankees haven't played well at all.
They're
expecting them to cruise out because they think they're going to play well now. They don't think they've played well at all.
Well, if they do, honestly, if they do, then we are in big, big, big trouble. Because they played like garbage through the first couple of games, and you've only beaten yourself. Like, you're going to have to play your best game and obviously hope that there's a little bit off on them, because they might have a 2-0 advantage and they might be a bit soft. I don't want to sharpen them up, but yeah, that's part of the reason I'm going to be very nervous about tomorrow if they were to lose today. Justin and Stowe, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, morning, guys.
Morning, Justin. Go ahead.
I got a couple things. I definitely agree with you, Ken. Boyd has to go four at minimum. If he can get through five, even better. But it's got to be four. We can't have another bullpen game. Even if we somehow win, then we're in trouble. I mean, right now the key to shutting down the Yankees is shutting down Juan Soto. He is just on a whole nother level right now. So Boyd has to find a way to minimize him. If we can get him through two at bats and keep him off the base paths, I think that would go a long way. And I know you guys touched on Rocchio earlier. It's very easy to say, oh, he's hitting, move him up. But he looks so comfortable right now.
Yes.
I would just hesitate to make any sort of adjustment.
I agree. Yes.
He rolls that lineup over, and he's showing more pop. If only he could catch a freaking pop-up, we'd be in a better situation right now. But you got to keep it as it is and just hope that this team does what it's continued to do all season long and just fight and claw. Because winning one tonight, I think, goes a long way, but got to start with one.
I totally agree. Justin, thank you very much for the call. He's great at the bottom of that lineup. He's comfortable at the bottom of that lineup. And you've had some good fortune. You just can't bring these guys in where it's like, hey, Stephen Kwan, he feels like he's back to being Stephen Kwan. And if you get him on base, it's great because it adds everything else for everybody else. So if you do hit a home run, if Jose hits a home run, it's not some just solo job. Like, you can actually bring some people in here. Or if he hits a double, it becomes a two-run double or at least an RBI double instead of just him being on with a double. If I can get Rocchio on, yeah, then Stephen Kwan can move him over to third. Then you got first and third with nobody out, and now you're starting to go through your order again. So there's so much help with him being at the bottom of the order. If you do put him up towards the top of the order, higher in the order, I think that there might be a little bit too much pressure on Brian Rocchio to perform there, because he's such a young player. I know that he looks older than what he is, but he's such a young player, and him being in that spot, this has been a tremendous postseason for him. With the exception of the terrible, terrible, terrible drop in game two, it's been an exceptional postseason for him. I'd leave him right there.
Yeah, the hard part in all of this is, like, you're going up against another righty, and so what are they going to do with David Fry tonight? And I know it was a miserable at bat when he was pinch hitting with the bases loaded. Didn't even make the pitcher work. Immediately he pops one up, and that's it. That's the end of the threat. Can they think about, is it all still going to be righty lefty in this situation? Because, like, you know, for instance, I'm watching Will Brennan just flail away, flail away, flail away. The guy's got, what, one hit so far in the postseason? That's out of one of your outfielders.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're getting nothing out of catcher. You're getting nothing out of the outfield. For somebody out of right field, you're getting nothing. Like, that is a really hard pill to swallow right now. Like, that's what makes this lineup really, really fail by seeing those two guys just be instant outs.
It's part of what's frustrating because you've overachieved this year. You've been an overachieving team. You were not expected to beat. Remember, you were. I picked him at 82-80, and it was just because I didn't want to pick him under 500. And so many people picked him at the four in the four spot in the AL Central, which people didn't think the AL Central was going to be as good as it was this year. So when you are an overachieving baseball team, yeah, you kind of have to do a lot of robbing Peter to pay Paul. It's not what we had in the 90s. It's not even what we had in 2016 and 17. You know, that was a lineup that was good to go, ready to go for the postseason. This is different. So there's still much more, and that's why there's so much more where Stephen Vogt, he's getting great experience here, but there's so much more pressure on him because he has to press more buttons than A.J. Hinch pressed the right buttons. A.J. Hinch is a better manager. I have no problem saying that. But he has so many more buttons he has to press to get everything to align right than what Aaron Boone does because Aaron Boone has a healthy rotation. His bullpen has done way better than we thought that they were going to be. The lineup is a top-heavy lineup. Once you get past the start, the first five batters, it just turns into a desert. Really, the first four, it's turned into a desert. But it's such a top-heavy lineup that you can go ahead and go, okay, get me back to the third inning, and we'll see what we can do. Like, you don't have that luxury. Are we desperate enough to start doing this? I don't think we're desperate enough yet, but see me in a couple of weeks. Are we desperate enough?
Well, the good news seems to be...
Because yesterday I came up with the whole idea like, hey, does he really give him the best chance to win? And I felt so filthy saying, because I don't believe it in my heart. I don't believe
that
he gives. Okay.
Nobody does.
But I had to give the argument to just see his side because somebody did bring it up. They go, well, you know, if he keeps saying it's his decision and we keep seeing what we're seeing, then okay, why hasn't the owner stepped in and taken that control there? Because what we're seeing is pretty bad. Which is a hell of a point that somebody made to me. I was like, okay, that's fine. We're thinking crazy stuff here. And so I know you want to say something about this whole Myles Garrett scenario that Mike Sanda was asked about. I mean, we're going down some dangerous paths here. So go ahead with what you were going to say, because I have a terrible idea that would only work if you were desperate. You have to be so damn desperate to get rid of this guy.
Yeah, so...
Not Miles. You know who I'm talking about.
So yesterday, also on that show, on the afternoon show, Breer said, well, the Browns don't have to make calls now. They're going to get calls. The calls are going to come in fast and furious. There's a bunch of teams that are competing, whether it's for the playoffs or for the Super Bowl, that are going to look at the Browns' very, very talented roster on paper, and they're going to ask. And they're going to lowball. And that's how it works. And then you'll see, depending on how desperate they are getting closer to the trade deadline.
Actually, he said something a little bit different there. And not that you weren't listening or anything like that. But he said they need to be careful about who they are. And like if they're the team that's picking up the phone or answering the phone, making the calls or answering the calls. And they have to be very careful for this. This is Albert Breer yesterday on the Browns being judicious when it comes to possibilities with Myles Garrett. Go ahead.
The minute they traded Amari, given where their record is, given how their quarterback played, every team is now going to say, okay, like, let's look at their roster. Let's see what they've got. If there's someone we like, let's just throw something out there. Obviously, the big one would be Myles Garrett. I think it would take a ton to move on. What if somebody offers two first-round picks? Do you do it? And that's why they have to be careful about it. I think, to some degree, you have to be the one picking up the phone, not the one making the call. You have to be, I think, very judicious about the way you handle this with especially him, but any of the guys that you have on your roster that are paid. Moving somebody like Garrett or a Ward or a JOK, like that's a totally different deal, of course.
So at 1-5, I am not desperate enough to do this. I still am looking forward to Nick Chubb on Sunday. See me if they go 1-6. And then I will try to talk myself into something else and see me when they go 1-7 to the point that we get to November 3rd and it's going to be put up or shut up time by November 5th.
That offer for Myles Garrett's going to be there in 5 weeks. Like it's
well, it won't be because the trade deadline's quicker than that.
Okay, whenever the trade deadline. Because Myles, it's not about how many just games left does he have this year. It's also, you know, the years after. Amari Cooper, it was just this year. Like the longer you waited for Amari Cooper, most likely... especially with other wide receivers getting dealt, that you were going to get less and less. So, no, I don't think there's a rush. But you know, again, you're going to listen to offers for all of these guys just because. That's what a normal functioning front office would do. And I think everybody has the pulse on what's going on in that locker room. They understand this is not a playoff team now this year.
Yeah.
This is not a team that's really going anywhere. So you're going to listen to any offer that comes in. You would listen to offers even when you're good. You still listen. because that's how a front office, at least a normal functioning one, operates. Yeah. So yeah, I don't, anybody that says you hang up the phone, all right, well, that's stupid. Then you're not a good, you're not somebody who could ever work in a front office in any professional sport.
So Sando again joined yesterday. Can I take you on a run here? You're going to have to go with me here. This is going to be long form. This is Grantland stuff. Sando yesterday was on Afternoon Drive. He was asked if a Watson trade is even realistic for the... Not talking about Miles. I got to go back to go forward here. He was asked if a Watson trade, because he had written about it in The Athletic, if it was realistic for the Browns, a Watson trade hit it.
I do think it's realistic that it could happen. I don't know if the Browns would rather do that than just bite the bullet on it and take the big cap hit. Nobody thinks that Watson is viable as a quarterback on a different team. No team's going to acquire him and have a press conference like the Browns did a few years ago and say he's going to compete or he's part of who we are, right? He hasn't played well enough. The off-field stuff makes him basically...
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Not a factor that way. So now you're talking about a Brock Osweiler type of trade where could you find a way for the everyone to be satisfied?
You know what you have to do. More on that, 92.3thefan.com. You know what you have to do to be able to do that, don't you? You have to offer up him in a first. So now you're in for four first-round picks. For Deshaun Watson. To get rid of him, you have to give up another one. That's the only way I could see another team being interested
yeah.
in it.
Yeah. Why would anyone?
You got to give me a first.
What are they getting out of it?
To take this money off your hands, you have to give me another first. Are we desperate enough to do that yet?
I don't think you need to do that. I just don't think you need to do that because I told you that
if you don't need to do it, then we don't need to discuss Miles yet.
I have this weird feeling that this situation with Watson, this is wishful thinking, obviously, that's going to resolve itself.
How?
Well, for one thing, apparently the NFL is still investigating the Deshaun Watson stuff, even though they haven't talked to Deshaun Watson. I found that very interesting yesterday. Anybody understand how that could be? How is the NFL doing an investigation and they haven't talked to Deshaun Watson? He says he hasn't heard from them.
Do they have to get all their information before they talk to him?
Which means what other information is out there? Does that make you think?
I have no idea. It's not time for Fatlock just yet.
Yeah. With which one? With Andy or with Kathy? Which Fatlock are we doing?
We're always going to go with Andy. No offense to the great Kathy Bates, but it's always going to be with Andy.
I mean, I think it might be time to transition the bit. Anyway, I think resolving this one way or another, like, why can't they? You explain this one to me. Would it be a union issue that, like, he's just not, he gets paid his money, he's just... Him and the Browns behind the scenes kind of come up with, hey, I'm in rehab. Oh, I've got another injury. I'm rehabbing.
What?
Like, why not?
I think you're being awfully presumptuous here.
Do you think he wants to play for the Browns?
Wait.
Do you think he wants to play for the Browns anymore? You think he's enjoying this?
No.
You think he's enjoying people trot out that he's the 732nd best quarterback over the last 5 years?
Who's doing you favors?
I mean, so wait a second.
Who's doing you favors?
His legacy has so been dead. What does it matter?
But if this isn't working with the Browns anyway. You keep telling me all this stuff like the league is interested in doing us favors. No, the league is interested in doing it by the book so they don't get sued by the NFLPA.
Yeah, but what's,
that's what they're interested in.
But what is
so
the league
gonna
have,
do it,
on,
they're going to
the,
do it by the book.
What does the league have anything to do with it? What if he just doesn't want to play for us anymore and we don't want him playing
he's
for us anymore?
He's willing to walk away from $192 million?
That's why I just say he's going to be making the money anyway. The money's guaranteed. The money's not a factor in this conversation. So he makes the money and he just goes away. He's happy because he doesn't have to do this anymore and embarrass himself. The Browns are happy because they don't have to have him sabotage the football team.
He's
got
to be on the roster to make the money.
I'm sure, there's no way that you can have a hamstring injury.
As of right now, I don't know of any other way. Have a hamstring injury.
You're telling
injury.
Me there's no guys in the NFL who play up injuries? That's
yes,
never happened before?
All the time.
Yeah, one of them just went to the Jets.
Anthony, you are, right? You are, yes,
yeah.
You're right.
So it's not like there
listen
is a
to yourself,
way,
you're making up is, crazy scenarios why is that this would resolve itself.
Why is
These
that,
are unrealistic things.
Why is that unrealistic? He's
because
getting his money either
get,
way.
You have to get him to so, agree to all these things that you're just making up so off the top
are,
of your
what
head.
Are all the
Sando
things?
Is coming up with realistic scenarios like, okay, a team could if you were willing to offer X, Y, and Z. Like, those are realistic things.
I
you are
know.
Offering something that is not, as of right
I mean,
now,
I,
Anthony, is just not realistic.
I'm telling you, I think what is realistic is he's just going to take more hits and then he's going to go away. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. He
but
is getting
we're still
going
to be stuck with
he
him.
Is, well, right, but it doesn't matter then. You get to play another quarterback. That's the point. Where was he last year?
So
he was away. Hold on. Where was he last year when we went on that amazing run in December?
He was away from here.
Not with the football
no,
team.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't in Berea.
That's going to happen again.
Well, I think the fake hamstring injury is more realistic than the another team will give you.
Right.
Take him off your hands.
And, I'm with
and
you there.
$80 million or whatever.
Yeah, the only hope is like David Tepper, right? Well, somebody just has so much money.
We'll throw our money away for you.
That's the team. I mean, you're trying to talk me into a guy basically faking an injury to stay out. And yes, that's happened before. This is where
I don't even know if it's faking. I'm watching him every week. He's getting killed. He's going to just, his shoulder, he's going to say, I can't throw the football 20 yards down the field anymore. Okay. I mean, he is the worst quarterback in recent NFL history. Okay,
that's true. That's true. All that's right. But I got to go on a somewhat realistic scenario. A more realistic scenario than him faking an injury would be, all right, you were to offer a first-round choice, which that means you're in for four, to get rid of him now. To get rid of Deshaun Watson, you would be in for four total first-round picks. Three to get him and one to get rid of him, yes. Which would make the worst trade in the world even worse.
You compound the trade. You're exactly
right. Yes. That's the only realistic scenario. I mean, you're talking about some stuff that I can't...
Well,
I mean, you can dream up all types of scenarios you want, but I got to stick in somewhat in reality here.
You know what? I do look at these teams around the league. Like, do you remember, it wasn't that long ago, it was last season, right, that Washington traded Chase Young. Who's the other defensive lineman they got rid of? And what are they already? They're poised to make the playoffs this year.
That's why I have to go on something else that you're not going to like, which makes the trade even worse. Is okay, what if a team did offer the two first-round picks for Miles? I can't believe I'm saying this. I imagine he has a no-trade clause. I would assume. I don't know if that's true, but I assume. You go to Miles, you say, listen, it's your choice. We're 1-6, and by this time you're 1-2. Mm-hmm. Let's say it like that. Say we win on Sunday. You're 2-6. We ain't going anywhere. You've been a great player for this team for 8 years. We love you. If you don't want to go, we are not going to make this choice. You have a home here. You are invested in the Cleveland Cavaliers. We're going to do right by you. You're our Hall of Famer, and we love you dearly. I want you to take this into consideration because you can go play for a team that could win a Super Bowl this year and play in a good city. There are good fans up there, this, that, and the other. Da, 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 da. If you don't want to do this, we will not do this. And if he says yes... Then you can start to have this conversation about Carolina, which probably doesn't even get off the ground in the first place because who wants that type of thing?
Right.
But you can have that conversation with Carolina. So now you're getting two first-round picks and Myles Garrett, but are you giving up Myles Garrett for two first-round picks? Because then you're thinking, stay with me here. I almost need a whiteboard to draw this up. You trade away Watson. You trade away a first-round pick. Then it turns into you gave up three first-round picks to get him. Mm-hmm. Then you gave up a first-round pick and Myles Garrett to get rid of him.
Pretty good player.
But you have a first-round pick that's also on top of your first-round pick, so you have two ones in 2025. So you can take your quarterback, whether that be Quinn Ewers, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, Garrett Nussmeier, whoever that might be, and then you can help out your football team. Then we got to talk about trusting the guy who's making the picks, and now, there's not a lot of trust there.
Or coaching the players.
Let's not go that far right now. I mean, these are the scenarios that we're playing out right now. So you have to tell me, are you desperate enough to get rid of this cloud that's hanging over this franchise right now? Are you desperate enough to do such a thing?
Does it matter to you?
I am not there yet. I'm not ready yet. I'm with you.
I'm not there either. Okay. We're on the same page. I think it's a fascinating discussion. Does it matter to you that they're saying there may only be like 15 actual first-round graded players in this draft coming up? How big does that factor in? That's what they're saying now. So things can drastically change after pro days and the combine.
And they will. They always do because there's 32 spots. Yeah.
So 32 guys, right?
But what, am I going to hold on to this? If it's this bad, Anthony, and we're really considering this, what, am I going to hold on to this albatross around this organization for another year? Like, this is all in, hey, I'm not going to do this right now. I'm not saying I never do it. I'm saying ask me again in 2 weeks. That's bad. It's really, really, really bad.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
All right, Kenny, we are getting colder outside. It's feeling more and more like fall.
It's actually supposed to warm up soon.
Yeah, this weekend. But this morning, there was frost on some of the cars in Northeast Ohio this morning.
It was 34 degrees when I went outside.
Very sobering thought. You know what's not sobering? Thinking about having that first Christmas-style alcoholic drink, which today can be had at a very popular spot in Ohio City.
Man, just say the names. It doesn't. I mean,
yeah, they're doing the untapping. The very first Christmas ale will be served
tapping
later today. The tapping, yes. Is that something?
Untapping, they take the taps out.
When do they do that? They do it too early every year. I want them to keep going with it.
January 1st.
I look around, I'm like, it's still freezing cold out. There's still snow everywhere. Why can't we get our Christmas ale? Anyway, so this is happening today.
Yeah.
And so the line out the door, I've been there for that a few times. Won't be partaking this year.
Now, why not?
I have other responsibilities and have a wife who wouldn't let me do it. So because of that,
sounds
fun. I do ask, married. When
and
is
I was
it?
Wondering, what could that possibly be?
Yeah, she smelled your breath.
It is October 17th. When is it officially time to have that first holiday-themed Christmas drink, maybe?
November 1st. November 1.
Now, why is that the... Why is that the day? Owen is shaking his head.
I'm not drinking any Christmas ale.
Like ever?
None of them I've really liked.
All right, let's do this. We're out at the bar. I'm buying you a beer.
All right.
But I'm buying you a Christmas ale. What day of the year can I do that? Because you'll take the free one.
Yeah, you can do that in July. So I don't know. Yeah, I am. So what? You can't. That's not a scenario. That's not. We're talking about realistic scenarios here over the last 40 minutes.
In vogue or out of vogue?
To get me a Christmas ale?
Yeah.
I think November 1. Guys,
there are so many great Oktoberfest beers around here.
That's true.
That I'm not ready for, and that starts in September.
So you don't want to push the pace and take that out.
Let's not get rid of those falls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm with you there, because once I know a lot of people that once they go to this, now they're actively stocking the fridge up.
I feel like you are, once you have a sip of the Christmas ale, you look down and now all of a sudden you're wearing the festive holiday sweater, and before you know it, you know, you're putting the tinsel up. Like, I'm not ready for all of that yet. We haven't even done
so. When's your day?
Halloween yet.
Yeah, when's your day? I agree it's too early, but when's your day?
I'm probably the week of Thanksgiving. Like,
that late?
Maybe that weekend before.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, at a lot of holiday get-togethers, there's no doubt there is Christmas.
That's when we start
beer
to
at
do
all those,
occasions. Yeah, it's a Chris. I've never sat down in the house by myself and just had a Christmas ale. That is a gathering drink for me.
Do you do the cinnamon on the rim?
No,
I've never had this. I've never had it like a draft. I've never had that, so I don't understand that experience. But you can't see me going into that experience ever. So it's. I don't know. I've made that joke a million times. If that's the type of thing you like, that's the type of thing you like. I just don't like the whole, oh, you don't like craft beer, do you? Well, I'm a better person than you since I like craft. I don't get that, and I never will get that, and it bothers me.
Well, and there's, because you, I have to say the difference between you, and I admire this, is you are the equivalent of the marathon runner when it comes to alcohol. You're not in it for the 100-yard dash. You're not in it for...
Congratulations on being called a marathon.
Yes.
Thank you.
You
it's the only
know,
way I'll ever be called a marathon runner.
You know that once you crack one open, the goal is to extend the period of drinking.
Yeah, I'm not there to... I'm not in a hurry to get loaded up. I'm there to enjoy the experience.
If you are going for just these very, very concentrated alcoholic beverages, which, you know, there's a pumpkin right now. What is that, 7%? Is that close to 8?
So I'd nurse that if I were having that, yeah.
Right. You see amateurs, and they're like, I'll have another one. Hasn't hit me yet. I'll have a third. And it's like, you should not be driving home. There is no chance you're going to make it. And in fact, you're going to get nothing productive done the rest of the day.
I told you before, because of the things I did really early in my life that we've talked about and extensively on the podcast, where there was a...
the drug running.
There was a different me. There was a different me that my dad listens to this show and is probably still shocked at the things I got away with that
Your
he didn't know.
Your son was a mule.
Or he might have just known and he wanted me to learn the hard way, because it was a very... some parts of blow were actually in my life at that point. Because of the things I learned at that point in my life, I got past all that early. So, like, even in, like, yeah, there was obviously some wild times in, like, college and stuff like that. But it's like, hey, I'm going to have a beer. I don't need to have 12 beers in 30 minutes and try to just take this to the extreme. It's just like, hey, you know, I'm gonna hang out. We're going to have this because I really don't want to be feeling like garbage tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so I don't feel like that. When it comes to that stuff, like usually those type of people also like the craft beers. They like to enjoy it. And if I'm with a person who brewed it, I'm not going to sit there and dump on the thing that they brewed because they came together with it, and that's fine. It's their thing. But I also don't believe it should be done too soon. I believe in the sanctity of the holidays. I'm not going to fight for Thanksgiving because Thanksgiving won't fight for itself. I've tried. So if like, hey, November 1st, I'm putting away the Halloween stuff. I'm getting ready with the Christmas stuff. You want to start having Christmas sale? Knock yourself out. Well, don't knock yourself out. Do it responsibly.
But do it but with go about right five on ahead. Of those Christmas sales.
Do it. Go right on ahead. I don't think you'd have five of them, man. I don't think you're having
someone
five
will
of them.
Try today.
That's too much.
You know what? If you are going to be there today, we've got just the button for you on our Odyssey app.
That's a great idea.
And you know what? Keep us updated.
That's
after
a great
one,
idea.
After two, you just have to go to the Odyssey app.
Oh, my God.
The coming in hot button. It's right
somebody,
there for you.
If you guys are going to the game, have somebody with you responsibly. But there's that internet meme that people go around where they go to a wedding and they're like, hey, my name's Ken and this is my first drink. And then they go through the night. Go ahead and do that on the coming in hot button if you'd like to. Because we got a good Guardians game tonight. And you know, maybe it's Thursday. Maybe you do want to get a little wild out there. That's a great idea, Tom.
We'll chronicle the whole thing for you tomorrow morning.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.